May is here. Spring has sprung. The trees and flowers are blooming, and galaxy season is in full swing. Now that the eclipse is behind us, we have lots to enjoy on May evenings this year. In this episode, we'll explore the planets and let you know how to see them, as well as exploring a specific feature on the moon. Then we'll explore the best DSOs that can be found in Ursa Major. Now, you know this routine. If you're watching on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe. And if you're listening on audio, please leave us a nice review on your podcast platform. We always appreciate that. As always, we love to get your questions, suggestions, and comments. Or you can always email us at astroguypodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 973-404-0380. Please subscribe to our Facebook group, the Astro Guy Podcast Group. We post lots of fun information about astronomy there and astronomers, and we'd love to have it become a fun forum for all the listeners and watchers of the show. The link is in the show notes. If you'd like to financially support the Astro Guy Podcast and YouTube channel, you can just buy us a cup of coffee. The money is used to maintain and update the equipment that we use to publish and create the show. The link for that is in the show notes. Thank you. All right, there's galaxies waiting for us. Let's get to it.
Welcome to the Astro Guy Podcast. I'm not an expert. I'm an amateur like you. I'm here to learn and here to teach. So let's enjoy the ride together. Carpe Noctem. Seize the night.
Welcome to the Astro Guy Podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Zuhl. May is here, and with it comes warmer weather, colorful days, and during the comfortable evenings, we're enjoying galaxy season. This is the time of year when the evening sky faces away from the center of our galaxy, so we're looking out and seeing galaxies that are not obstructed by the Milky Way. For planetary observers, there's not much happening in the evening skies this month, but early risers with good eastern horizons can have some planetary fun this month. Mercury is very low in the east in the morning skies all month long. On the 1st, Mercury is shining at magnitude 1, while on the 31st, it will brighten to magnitude minus 0.7. However, you'll likely need to be on the east coast at a beach with binoculars to spot elusive Mercury this month. The best morning to spot Mercury will be the 14th. Venus is lost in the glare of the sun all month and won't return to the evening skies until this summer. On May 1st, Mars rises at 4:23 in the morning and will be shining at magnitude 1.1 and shows a disk spanning 4.7 arc seconds. It will be visible low in the east before sunrise. On the 31st, Mars will rise at 3:18 and it will be slightly brighter at magnitude 1.05 and will span 5.1 arc seconds. On the morning of May 3rd, if you have an excellent eastern horizon, you might be able to spot the 10% illuminated waning crescent moon about 4.5 degrees to the east of Mars. Binoculars will help you to pick it out of the brightening twilight glow. Jupiter is lost in the glow of the sun all month. It will reemerge in the morning skies in June. Saturn will provide the best planetary viewing this month. On the 1st, the ring planet rises at 3:53 a.m., shining at magnitude 1.07. The planet spans a little more than 16 arc seconds, while with the rings, it spans almost 38 arc seconds in diameter. On the 31st, Saturn rises at 2 a.m., and is brightened slightly to magnitude 1.02. And with the rings, it's now spanning almost 40 arc seconds across. You can see the rings with 10 power binoculars, but they're best seen in a telescope. Uranus is lost in the glow of the sun all month and will reemerge in the morning skies in June. On May 1st, Neptune rises around 4:19 a.m. and is glowing at magnitude 7.8 and spans just over 2 arc seconds in diameter. While you can see it in binoculars, you'll need a telescope to notice the disk of the planet. On the 31st, Neptune rises at 2:22 a.m. Its size and brightness have changed by an imperceptible amount. On the evening of May 23rd, for those along the east coast of the United States that are south of Delaware, you'll have an opportunity to see the full moon occult or pass in front of the first magnitude star, Antares and Scorpius. Those north of Delaware can see the star just pass by the edge of the moon. We have a link in the show notes to inthesky.org, where you can get detailed information about the occultation for your location. Speaking of the moon, now it's time for
Lunar Feature of the Month.
This month, let's examine the bright red crater named for the 17th century astronomer Johannes Kepler, who is most famous for his three laws of planetary motion, which transformed our understanding of the cosmos. Kepler's first law, or the law of ellipses, reveals that planets orbit the sun in elliptical paths with the sun at one foci. This replaced the notion that planets orbited in perfectly circular orbits. Kepler's second law, the law of equal areas, explains that a line segment joining a planet and the sun sweeps out an equal area in equal amounts of time. This explains why planets move at varying speeds along their orbits. Lastly, the third law, or the law of harmonies, links a planet's orbital period to its distance from the sun. It states that the square of a planet's orbital period is proportional to the cube of its average distance from the sun. These laws help to lay the groundwork for Isaac Newton's laws of universal gravitation, propelling modern astronomy and celestial mechanics. Simply put, Kepler's laws reshaped our understanding of the solar system and beyond. Kepler Crater is a relatively young crater that is roughly circular and surrounded by an array of bright rays that emanate from the crater and extend for more than 300 kilometers. The crater is 31 kilometers, or just over 19 miles in diameter, and is 2,891 meters deep, or nearly 10,000 feet deep. From our view, the crater spans just under 15 arc seconds across, so you'll need at least 50mm binoculars to see it, although the best views of Kepler will be through a telescope. The best days to view Kepler are about 3 days after first quarter or 2 days after the last quarter moon. It's easy to locate just north of the lunar equator on the eastern edge of Oceanus Procellarum, the Ocean of Storms. Moving out of the solar system, let's explore the constellation Ursa Major. Ursa means bear, so the constellation is supposed to represent the Great Bear. Ursa Major is also known as the home of the famous Big Dipper asterism. In some parts of the world, they refer to this asterism as the plow. The Big Dipper is made up of 7 stars. Starting at the end of the handle, you have magnitude 1.85 Alcade. Next is the magnitude 2.2 star Mizar, with its fourth magnitude companion Alcor. Next is magnitude 1.75 Alioth, and the star where the handle meets the bowl is third magnitude Merges. The star marking the bottom left corner of the bowl is magnitude 2.4 Fecta. Marking the bottom right corner is magnitude 2.3 Mirac, and magnitude 2.0 Dubay marks the top right corner of the bowl. The Big Dipper asterism is an excellent tool to help you find other objects in the sky. For example, if you follow the arc of the Dipper's handle from the bowl through the handle and extend that arc for 30 degrees, you'll come to the bright star Arcturus in Boötes. If you continue on that arc for another 32 degrees from Arcturus, you'll come to the first magnitude star Spica in Virgo. The Dipper is also a great tool to find Polaris, the North Star. Start at Mirac and imagine a line to Dubay, and then continue on that line for 28 degrees, and you'll come to Polaris. Easy peasy. Besides the Big Dipper, this constellation holds a lot of deep sky objects. Let's start with M81, which is known as Bode's Galaxy. This is one of the brightest galaxies in the night sky. First discovered by Johann Bode in 1774, it was added as the 81st entry to Charles Messier's catalog in 1781. It is a spiral galaxy that we see nearly face-on, and it's glowing at magnitude 6.9 while spanning about 27 by 14 arc minutes in size. M81 is located about 11.8 million light-years away from us, making it one of the closest galaxies outside of the local group. In long-exposure images, the galaxy shows well-defined spiral arms that are lined with active regions of star formation. You can spot M81 with binoculars, where it will appear as a small oval glow, but it's best seen in a telescope. Even with my 70mm refractor, I've been able to see the spiral arms of M81 from a dark sky site. In a 6-inch or larger scope, you'll see lots of detail within the galaxy, and the spiral arms should be evident. Finding M81 is easy to do. Start at Vecta and imagine a line to Dubhe. From Dubhe, extend that line another 10 degrees. Then, nudge your scope 1 degree north and you should see M81. Once you finish viewing M81, sweep half a degree north and you'll be looking at the Cigar Galaxy, which is cataloged as M82 or NGC 3034. This galaxy was also discovered by Bode in 1774 and added to Messier's catalog in 1781. Classified as a starburst galaxy, due to its high rate of star formation, we see M82 nearly edge-on, leading to the cigar shape for which it is named. It is believed to be interacting gravitationally with M81. While it's a bit fainter than its neighbor at magnitude 8.4, it's a bit smaller and therefore has a higher surface brightness, making it pretty easy to see. The galaxy spans 11 by 4 arc minutes and is located about 11.5 million light-years away from us. Long exposure images show a lot happening in this galaxy's core, with bright red streams of gas jetting out from within the galaxy's core. From a dark location, I've seen it with 7x50 binoculars, where it appears as a faint smudge. In a telescope, it appears as an elongated glow. If you want to have some real fun, put in a low-power eyepiece and explore both galaxies at the same time. This is a fun pair of galaxies that you'll want to observe when they're well-placed in the sky. Our next object is the Pinwheel Galaxy, which is cataloged as M101 or NGC 5457. This is a large, face-on, grand-design spiral galaxy that can actually be a bit of a challenge to see due to its low surface brightness, despite its magnitude being 7.9. The galaxy spans 28 arc minutes in size, making it appear nearly as large as the full moon. It is located approximately 21 million light-years away from us. The galaxy measures about 170,000 light-years wide, making it one of the largest known galaxies. The galaxy features several prominent spiral arms, giving it the appearance of a pinwheel. The spiral arms are actively forming stars, where dense regions of gas and dust serve as stellar nurseries. In long-exposure images, the spiral arms are easy to see, as are many of its star-forming regions. Visually, it's not quite as evident. In binoculars, M101 appears as a large, faint glow, while in a telescope, it's best viewed at low power. This helps with the contrast. I've actually been able to see the spiral arms to my 8-inch Dob at low power from a dark sky site here in New Jersey. A supernova was discovered in M101 on May 19th of 2023. When a 14th magnitude star appeared in one of the spiral arms. By May 22nd of last year, the supernova, classified as SN2023IXF, had brightened to magnitude 11. By mid-June, it began to fade and is now no longer visible to amateur instruments. It's expected that the supernova will leave a neutron star or a black hole in its place. Locating M101 is easier than seeing it, but with practice, you'll spot it. To find it, start at Mizar and sweep 5.5 degrees east. It also forms a unilateral triangle with Mizar and Alcade, making it easy to find. Our next object is not a galaxy, but a planetary nebula. Let's explore the Owl Nebula, M97, or NGC 3587. Listed at magnitude 9.9, this compact nebula is fairly easy to see. It spans about 3.5 arc minutes in diameter and is 1.4 light-years wide, lying at a distance of just over 2,000 light-years away from us. I've seen this with 70mm binoculars, but it's best seen in a telescope. Visually, through my 8-inch SCT, The nebula is aptly named, appearing as a circular glow with two darker spots representing the eyes of the owl. Using a nebula filter will help you to spot it. If the sky conditions allow it, you can boost the magnification and explore this fun nebula a bit. To locate the owl, start at Mirac and sweep for 1.5 degrees south until you come to a magnitude 7.5 star. Now, sweep east for just under 2 degrees and you'll come to the nebula. Our last object on this month's tour is located 3/4 degree northwest of M97. I'm referring to M108 or NGC 3556, which is commonly known as the Surfboard Galaxy, as it does resemble its namesake. It was discovered by Pierre Méhain in 1781 and added to Messier's catalog that same year. M108 glows at 10th magnitude and spans 8.5 by 2 arc minutes in size. It is located about 45 million light-years away from us. The galaxy spans nearly 130,000 light-years across. It is classified as a barred spiral galaxy and appears not quite, but almost on edge to us. Visually, M108 appears as an elongated glow in my 70mm refractor. In my 8-inch Dob, it shows as a mottled glow, and in larger instruments, details can be seen. But at 10th magnitude, dark skies will help you in spotting this interesting galaxy. I hope that these objects become favorites of yours as well. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that you found our time together to be fun and helpful. If you have questions or episode suggestions, please email us at astroguypodcast@gmail.com or leave us a text or a voicemail at 973-404-0380. If you're not already a member, please join the Astro Guy Podcast group on Facebook. You'll find other members, videos, blogs, and lots of other useful information there for your enjoyment. You can also visit our YouTube channel, The Astro Guy Podcast, for past episodes and other surprises. Please subscribe. Please consider leaving us a review on your podcast platform. It helps us to get new listeners. Thank you again for listening, and may your skies be clear. As always, carpe noctem. Seize the night.
I'm Wayne Zuhl, and this was the Astro Guy Podcast. Thank you for listening. As always, your questions, comments, and suggestions are welcome. Keep wondering. Keep your eyes on the sky. Have fun. Carpe Noctem. Seize the night.